What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised.
That's all right.
Then I heard the old man say,
"These are great line to live by."
God is great, and bears good.
Oh no, okay.
And people are crazy.
Come on, man, that's relatable music right there.
God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Billy Currington.
Okay. Is he
an old guy? Like, okay. 06 to 010, probably.
Oh, he's an older guy.
Yeah, semi-old.
That wasn't 230 Tupac?
No. Not 230 Tupac?
330 Country.
330 Country.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
430 90s. Yep. 530 Creed. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're dreaming of another chip, make her feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond ring from Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Which would you do Sunday? Start the starters or sit the starters? 53% say start the starters. 47% say sit the starters.
That going down?
Yes, it is. We were at 63% the first hour.
If I can I be, yeah. I got an honest moment.
Okay.
I think my mind is changing a little bit.
Oh, jeez.
Where were you? I didn't hear the open to the...
Well, I'm a playing guy, start to guys, yes.
Yeah.
There's something to... You know what it is? It's not that I don't believe the number two seed is important.
Yeah.
It's, do I believe they can win this game without playing the starters?
Oh, dangerous game. That's
now
a dangerous game.
But they're playing Josh Johnson.
Yes. That's a dangerous game. Are you sitting starters on defense, too? What's more important, the two seed or Saquon's record?
Well, you know, it's an interesting... you know what?
Saquon's record.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, it'll be interesting on Sunday. Devontae is 40 yards short of 1,000.
There's no doubt he's playing Sunday.
If I'm Saquon... And I got to watch Devontae go out there for 40 yards to get to 1,000 yards. And I missed out on the all-time rushing record last year.
Yeah.
Like, that is something to consider here. I know with 40 yards, it's not a ton. But unless Devontae is going to go out there with the backup offensive line and the backup quarterback, like...
Yeah.
That's fair, but they did give him $40 million this offseason.
No, I know, but it's not history.
So,
that's true.
Yeah. So 30 past every hour today, we are playing great moments from 2025 that Jack has found. And since it's Tuesdays with Elliot, Jack found two Elliot-related moments from the year to celebrate.
Yes.
Jack, do you want to set up number one for us?
Of course. This was, you know, late summer.
Okay.
This is actually back-to-back days.
Okay.
Okay. So this first one happened on Thursday, leading into the Eagles-Bengals preseason. Here's how feisty Jalen Hurts' argument turned.
Jalen was the starting quarterback all year. Jalen had to do more work to win his Super Bowl than Nick did.
That's fine, but not in the games. Not in the games. Not in the games. And the other thing I would say is if you put 100 Eagles fans on a lie detector test and you ask them which Super Bowl meant more to you, the one in 2018 or the one in 2025, they would tell you the one in 2018. Nick Foles,
but that's
Super
a completely
Bowl
different discussion.
No,
what we're
but
talking
it
about.
Should matter.
First of all, it's not 2018 and 2025. It's 2017 and
the Super Bowl in
but
2018.
I know, but it's the
you don't have to be
talking.
A little bitch about
I'm
it.
I'm not being. But like,
you're being a little bitch.
I'm not. But there is a difference.
I was being a little bit of a B about that. Yeah.
Jack, did it hurt you not bleeping that? Because
nah, it's fine.
Okay, that did get dumped that time, right?
Yeah.
That's the first time that was played on the air without getting dumped.
Oh, it got dumped? I didn't know that.
It did get dumped that day.
Yeah. Who was back in the studio?
Had to be
Happy
Buzz.
Yeah.
It's funny because this past weekend, we were at a store and they had like Eagle stuff and it had two trophies and they said 2018 and 2025.
Oh, really?
And for a split second, I was going to text you a picture of it. And I was like, I don't want him to call me a little B again. So.
Now, you did admit later that you were being a little
I was being, it was unnecessary to point out. Like, okay. I do think it is correct. We should say 2017 to 2024. But in that moment, it was being a little B.
Okay, all right.
It's all right, I can admit it.
Okay, so that is moment one, a great moment. Now, this one happened the very next day.
The very next day at Chickie's.
Okay.
Oh, I know what this was. Yeah.
When we got this rant.
The traffic around the complex has gotten worse and worse over the last 3 years.
I don't get this whole traffic thing. Like, yes, there was a huge event with lots of people. No. There was traffic.
It has gotten way worse.
I don't know how it would get worse. There's not been a huge, unless I'm unaware of it, a change in the road.
Well, wherever they're directing people now and closing, it has gotten more. It is worse down there now than it used to be.
Yeah, I just think at big events there's traffic.
No. Yes, but also,
everyone's like,
it is worse.
Like, yeah, man, there's like 50,000 people down there. There's going to be traffic.
Well, Nate Bargatze was there last night.
And there have been 50,000 everywhere. I don't know where you think the traffic's going to go. Like,
there have been 50,000 people down there for 50 years.
And there's been traffic all the time.
And it hasn't been as bad as it is now.
It takes 2 minutes to get out of the game.
You do not get there or leave when everyone else does.
I know what traffic is.
But you haven't experienced it. What is wrong with you?
What
is wrong with you? Literally, every person who drives down there says it's worse than it used to be. Every person.
And there's always been traffic.
And it's worse.
It's worse. When's the last time you sat in that traffic? When's the last time you sat in that traffic?
Metallica a month and a half ago.
Yeah, and I was at Taylor Swift, which is a way bigger deal. And there was traffic there.
Calm a little bit.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, do it. Go ahead.
I think that was the first time I got the belt. It was after those 2 days. Yeah.
You definitely deserved it.
That was at 4:19, and the belt at 4:30.
Yeah.
Right under the
wire. Yeah, that's right. You guys decided to give it to him at the break.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't decide to give myself the belt.
There was no way he was not getting the belt that week.
I actually think I won that. Listening back objectively.
No, like, you didn't. You were arguing a different thing.
I don't want to do
I'm
it
not
again,
doing it
but
again.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
I mean, again, like the traffic tweets. It's out of control. The funniest thing is that Sunday was the Eagles' open practice, and it did take longer to get to the stadium than normal. Yeah.
So I want to ask you about an Eagles thing. After the game on Sunday, there was an interesting quote from Nick Sirianni when he was asked about. They were talking about the offense in the second half, again, maybe not being as aggressive, or I forget what the question was. And Sirianni said this.
In the process of doing a better job, you were talking about how you have to get more involved. Does that happen in real time when the play is called by Kevin, or do you go back to him at the bench and say, hey, we could do this, we could do that?
Yeah, it's hard in real time, Sal, because, you know, if there's a play called and then I say to myself, right there in that scenario, like, then you're going to get low on the play clock. So it's got to be better communication from me. I just need to do a better job there in the second half. Like, again, everything that is on that field has my name on it, not nobody else. So it's tough in real time, Sal. It's got to be something that's done a little bit more by me in the in-between series. You know, and that's always a challenge because you're managing the game. You're looking at different things. You're trying to make sure you're looking at things. But I have to do it. I've done that before, so I need to do a better job in that scenario.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So there are three things that are weird in there to me. Number one, it's my name on it, so I got to do something about it, which speaks a little more to like blame to me than anything else.
So I will say that is something he does say a lot. Like, I'm the head coach. It's on whatever the product is on the field is on me. He does say that.
All right.
Yeah, that part didn't catch my ear, but something else did.
Yeah. The second thing was, this is just funny. And he's like, well, there's a lot going on. Well,
that's your job, man.
Yeah, it's the offense.
Yeah.
I could promise you, you're not telling Vic Fangio what to do in between series. So, you know, your time to get over to you know, Kevin Petullo and say, why don't we do this? But finally, like, the idea that we've been told over and over that Kevin Petullo calls the plays, and Nick is basically admitting that if I got to get over there and change the plays. I don't know. It was weird.
So the two takeaways for me would be, one, there's almost an implication like he doesn't like the plays that are being called.
Yes.
You know, like if he's saying, I need to be a better job of essentially monitoring it to see like what's being called, because obviously, you know, they didn't play well in the second half, and he's saying he has to do a better job talking to Betullo before the plays. There is some implication there. He doesn't like the plays that are being called. But my main takeaway from it is, and this is not just that answer, but the team as a whole, especially coming off Buffalo, is it is shocking to me how many times the excuses they give or the reasoning they give are detail-oriented things that they're supposed to be great at. Like, Nick's whole thing is tough detail together, right? And we just discussed the tough thing. They're obviously a tough team. But detailed, it feels like Jordan talks about pre-snap communication. We're still talking, still, it's about to be the playoffs, about them getting to the line quicker, right? And the like, and now Nick's talking about like online sideline procedure in terms of like how they're handling things. I know they're not going to talk about specific on-field problems because they're not going to throw players under the bus. But one thing I think Nick has been a lead at during his time here is the detailed things, right? Like, they're not often a sloppy team. And I think they are a very well-coached team. But this year, it feels like so many of the problems are things that are within their own control. And one thing Nick says all the time is, we can control the things you can control. And it doesn't feel like this year they're doing a good job of that.
Yeah, from communication to details to just knowing, even the thing you brought up there, to be able to get to the line earlier.
Right, that seems so simple. Like, early on in the year, I mean, we did this with the Mailata thing, but I thought it was such a red flag that they are not able to get to the line quicker. Because that is such like a procedural thing, everyone on the same page, figuring out how to do it, and they're still talking about it.
Well, that means the plays are coming in late.
It has to be something.
Yeah. Decision to go with what personnel and what play to call isn't being made fast enough. It's not being relayed to Jalen fast enough so that he can relay it in the huddle to everyone else.
Well, and yesterday, Nick said within an answer, he acknowledged how important it is for the quarterback to have time at the line to see what's going on,
yes.
Right? And no team in the league snaps the ball with less time left on the clock than the Eagles. So they're acknowledging it's important Jalen has time there, and it doesn't seem like they have found a solution to this problem.
So I'm going to distinguish the difference, and not that you're wrong in what you're saying.
But snapping it and
– snapping it late isn't bad, necessarily. Getting to the line late is what's bad.
Yes, I agree. There's a difference.
Yes, because you can get to the line with 15 seconds, give you a time to look over things, see everything.
Yeah.
And then you can take your time to snap the ball after you make checks. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're running out of the huddle and it's only 7 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, that's a difference.
That's the difference there. So not that you were wrong. I was wrong.
It is different. Yeah.
I just want people to understand that it's really getting the play in and allowing them to get up there lined up so they can see everything.
Yeah. No, for sure. And so the other thing is, I don't know if you guys played Petullo today or
anything.
No, we hadn't.
But he was talking about why the offense struggled in the second half. And he basically said we were bad on first down. So we were in a lot of seconds and third and long, which is true, right? Yep. And this is something we've talked about all the time.
Yep.
But I also think we've reached a point of the season where being bad on first down cannot be the end-all, be-all or a death sentence to a drive.
Yeah.
Like, just because you don't have a good first down, there are teams that in years past have had bad first downs, but shovel their way out of it and dig their way out of it and still keep the drive going. The Eagles are on a historic third and out rate this year. So clearly, while I agree they've not been good on first down, you can't tell me they're like the worst first down offense ever. So I just think the continually saying the first down is killing them, while true, you have to be able to find a solution on second and third down.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I would also guess that they're also bad on second down because the number of third and longs.
Right.
Yeah, they average the longest, or at least they did prior to this week.
Yeah.
And that's sort of Elliot's point, is that it's not just first down. Like,
right,
you keep saying first down. That shouldn't kill the drive because you only got 1 yard on first down.
They're not the worst first down offense ever.
And how the hell did we go from being a team that says, well, you know what? It may as well be first and nine, meaning that they're going to get that last yard regardless of what it is, because they're likely to go for it on fourth down. We can't tush push anymore.
Yeah.
That has thrown everything out of whack for us. And I said it then that damn play became a crutch for us.
Well, now they can't
do
it.
Now they don't do it as well, so now we're all discombobulated.
Yeah.
I for a while, what I would usually say is, I don't know if Kevin Betullo is a good offensive coordinator or not, but I do know that there are things that are making it difficult for him to do his job, which I do think is true in that the offensive line playing the way that it is, Jalen's specific limitations do create issues if you can't run the ball early, all yep. those things. But the longer it goes on, and the more that you hear about communication issues and detail issues and everybody being on the same page, that was another thing that Jordan said to us last week. He's mm-hmm. like, well, now that we're all on the same page, and I'm just like, ah. Man, it is week 17 yeah. when he said that. Now it's week 18. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not good at
well,
it.
Well, what I'm thinking, to keep going down this road, like, I think when we talk about Petullo as a coordinator, we talk about the scheme. Like as if he's only judged by if guys are open. And I get
right,
why.
Right.
But I do
and that's
think.
That's not always fair.
I was going to say is I do think this year guys have been open. And that's why I've been more critical of Jalen. Last week against Buffalo, I don't think guys were open. Yep. Right. But. Yep. But what we're talking about sounds like an offense that has a first-year coordinator.
Yes.
Right? Like things about like when they're getting to the line, pre-snap. Like we haven't brought up anything schematic. Right?
We're
talking about like things within their control. So I think that when we talk about Petullo with the scheme, I think they're fine. Like I think mostly they have a scheme that works. If they play well, they can move the ball. But they are kind of a sloppy team. And that's on Nick first and foremost, right? But if Petullo is the coordinator of the offense, they don't often play like a coordinated offense pre-snap. Like, they're uncoordinated.
And you just said something that is hitting the nail on the head. He's a first-time coordinator. And, we're at a point in the season where people aren't necessarily giving you grace for not having this thing figured out. And I'm not sitting here trying to make excuses for Kevin Petullo, but he is a first-time
Agreed.
Play caller and a coordinator. So it's almost like if you got a rookie in there as a quarterback, you're going to expect some ups and downs from mm-hmm. the rookie. He's going to show you some good things and why you like him, and then it's going to be those rough moments where you got to sort of coach him through it. And I'm wondering, as Kevin Petullo is going through his first season as a play caller, is the staff experienced enough that when you come together collectively, are they finding the answers? So that he can sort of fight his way out of this thing
yeah.
as opposed to being left to try to do it himself. And I know Nick said he's going to get more involved, but I'm like, okay, you guys have about the same amount of experience, and Nick, you weren't necessarily the best play caller when you were doing it. So that's the one thing with Kellen Moore, who had been a play caller in the past. When he sees something's not working, he has the ability to pivot and go to something else and figure it out. He has the answers to what's not working.
Well, and I also wonder if the answers they need are not like, well, you know, less hitch routes. If the answers they need are someone with experience that can say, my players cannot do this pre-snap. Like, it's not working. So here's another solution mm-hmm. to get to the same thing that is maybe simpler or whatever, like something like that.
Yeah.
And so the ironic thing about all this is it's actually the argument to bring Petullo back next year. Because he will have a full year of experience.
Well, that's the argument I was leaning towards.
Exactly,
yes.
Right. Like, yeah. I think you're seeing some inexperienced things with this offense, and I think that is on Petullo as an inexperienced coordinator.
And working with, and Spike just said this, and working with Jalen, it's not like you're working with some 10-year, 12-year vet that is sort of been in a system, a pocket quarterback, plays under center. When you're eliminating certain facets of the offense because he's not necessarily comfortable with doing everything, now you have to work around. And that's where Kellen Moore was able to adjust mm-hmm. when they had the bye week thing, right? And now Kellen Moore's like, hold on, I'm a damn passing guru, and I got to turn into a running guru.
Yeah.
They were able to do it. He was able to do it.
Well, and the other thing, as far as a coaching thing that we haven't talked about in a while, but is still, I think, important to mention, is the penalties thing. Like, the two teams that have the fewest penalties in the NFL per game are the 49ers and the Rams.
On the Daily Pod tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And I think the Patriots are eighth in terms of fewest penalties per game. The Patriots are tied
for. If you look at the most penalized teams, they're all the bad teams.
Except for Denver.
Denver and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Denver, a young quarterback there.
Yes. 215-592-9494.
And a veteran play caller.
Veteran play caller.
Yeah.
Tom in Vancouver. You're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Tom.
What up, Tom?
In Vancouver. How long has it been since Tom has called
us?
It's
a Go Birds caller right here.
Oh,
it's easy.
The thing is, I'm just working too much. I got
two
jobs.
Amen, Tom.
Okay.
So I can call in on weekends, and you guys aren't working, of course. So I am a regular caller. I've got a time slot on Go Birds at 11 a.m.
Top of the hour. Anyone who wants to hear Tom, Saturdays at 3 o'clock.
Oh, great.
Or 2 o'clock.
You would buzz. Do you tweet about it?
Yep, I will.
So, now, I have to say, I was like, I'm really, really glad I'm able to watch you guys on YouTube. I think that anybody who hasn't had that experience, the producers are doing a great job, whoever the engineers are, all the rest of it. And you guys are awesome. You're awesome being able to see the little gestures and such. So highly recommend it.
Thank you.
And I've got to say, Tom, you're welcome. Today, I'm listening to Elliot, and I'm listening to Elliot say, Elliot, you know I love you, but I'm listening to you say that Vic Fangio did not bring it for the defense in the same way. Like, the defense was tough before.
Well,
him.
Hold on. That's not exactly what I said.
Just admit that I cooked you.
No, exactly. You didn't cook me at all. Like, the team is tough because of Nick. I'm not saying...
Stop.
Again, how tough was the Dolphins' defense? Like,
who
I'm
cares?
Not saying Vic
who
is
cares?
Not a tough guy, but Nick is the one that sets the culture there.
I tell you what, I bet you the Dolphins wish they had kept Nick Vic Fangio right now.
I bet they would have. But I'm just saying, Nick is the culture setter down there.
Wasn't this like Nick, let's shorten the practices? Like, this is
well, that's smart. That's just smart.
Let's not go down there.
You've lost this one 2 years ago.
Yeah, 10 minutes longer. They're like so different. They do individuals for a little longer.
Well, the practices are only an hour, right? So 10 minutes longer.
Well, now they're
like
an hour 15.
Yeah, it matters. Yeah.
No, they do a few more team reps. I agree.
Yeah, we get it. You go to practice and we don't.
Yeah.
You get it.
I got all the stats.
Yeah, you and
you
the
have to
rest
work
of,
extra hard.
The rest of the dorks over there with your iPhones.
Tweeting everything.
The big fear when Vic Fangio came was that he was going to be hurtful for the culture because he was going to be too tough. That's what everybody was saying. And it was like all the players are saying the coach is too tough and all the rest of it. Meanwhile, you've got Eagles players who are saying, can we please put on the pads in practice? Because we're not feeling that we're getting it enough here.
So, yeah, I think some of that's performative. Like they are a tough team because of Nick. I think they practice a little longer. They do put pads on sometimes. But, like, I think they are tough because of the culture there. I don't think they're tough because they practice a few more plays.
All right. Well, let's move on to the question of the show.
Yeah.
And that's, in my opinion, I'm on the side of Spike, and I'm not sure where Ike is on this now because
he's hedging.
I am on the
moving around. Classic on the fence, Ike.
Yeah.
What?
I'm on Team Spike on this, man. This team has not earned the right for a rest. Unless you're an injured player, like a Lane Johnson, okay. I can see that. We want a healthy Lane back. I could also see that if the Bears win their game, then I could see resting key players on the defense. But the offense,
you're not
going to
know that they're playing
at
the same time, Tom.
Yeah, they do play at the same time.
Well, then you got to play them all.
Yeah.
You have to. You have no choice. And the offense, oh my God, those guys need to learn. It's unbelievable when you're at the end of the season and they're still making the same mistakes that they're making.
Yeah. See, I'm less concerned about changing that. I think they are who they are.
Agreed.
I'm more concerned with winning the game and having a number two seed.
Yeah.
I'm more in that corner. So the only reason why I said I started to shift a little bit, because now I started to think, like, well, can they beat Washington without the starters?
Dangerous game.
I think they can. I mean,
they can.
I mean, Tanner's practically a starter.
There's definitely less of a chance. So the line is.
Yeah, I would agree.
The line opened up at 7.5, and I think if it was with the backups, it would be something like 4.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.5.
Wouldn't it be just our luck? They sit the guys. Tanner starts 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. And next week, this is instead of us getting ready for a damn playoff game.
Play the backups.
Yeah.
Play the backups.
You know damn well that's what everybody will be talking about.
Well, when it would happen is if it was like 6-0 in the first half against Green Bay. You know, like,
right.
Like,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's when it would happen.
So that's, I'm like,
Tom,
that's a possibility.
Tom, for next question, give us someone who had a short but high peak.
Sorry, what was that?
Did you ask him?
Ooh, boy.
Did he know?
I thought he was listening.
No. Right. I really wanted to get in on that point about the Commanders. The issue is, if they do not play them against the Commanders, then basically you're turning it into a trap game. The Commanders are going to go in, and they're going to be wanting to win after that two-point conversion try. And then you're going to have the Eagles come in, and they're going to be saying, well, we're going to be sitting starters in this game. What message is that going to be sending?
I actually think the backups would try harder than the starters.
I appreciate the call, Tom. Happy New Year.
Especially if they know they're not playing the whole game.
Happy New Year.
Well, yeah, I just think, like, the backups, they're going out there for their jobs.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, oh, you mean Washington's backups?
No, no. I'm saying I think Tanner McKee and the backups would play harder than the Eagles starters in this game. Because
yes, I agree with you.
They have
that.
More to play for. Like, do we really think, you know, like Saquon, AJ, Devontae, and Goddard care a lot about the two versus the three? Like, I'm sure
they
care. But I think the health would be more important to them.
Isn't it the coach's job to make sure that they try hard?
Well, that's why I think the backups would try hard, because they have a great culture, right, 1 through 53. Actually, 69.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you. Exactly.
Happy New Year, Elliot.
Happy New Year to you guys as well. Great year of the show, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. And your contributions, obviously, very small.
Obviously, the best part.
But no.
He's the reigning insider of the year.
I did see all your mentions were like, the traffic moment, the traffic moments.
So. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Big part of the show. And make it your New Year's resolution to subscribe to Go Birds.
You can
do it on any podcast platform. Is there ESPN tomorrow? No, not New Year's
Eve. Not New Year's Eve.
Okay. All right. Crazy here.
Yeah, I got to have a fun time.
All right. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Jordan Mailata will join us. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. All right, time for your New Year's resolution. Your New Year's resolution should be, during the summer, you're not going to pay somebody thousands of dollars to stay at their shore house. No. Why? Well, because you're going to have one yourself. You're going to charge other people to stay at your house. They're going to pay your mortgage. You're going to have a place to go with your family and friends, a little investment as well. Adam Kasabi is the realtor who can help you make it happen. Even if you thought before, oh, I can't make this happen, Kasabi can do it. For one reason or another, too tough, bidding's too crazy, you don't know what shore town, you don't have the time, Kasabi's going to take all the time. He's a mad dog. He's based out of Long and Foster and Bethany Beach, and he knows the Delaware Beach is better than anybody. Maryland as well. I know Ike used to be Maryland's man, you know, Ocean City, Maryland. And like I said, then you have your own place. You're not renting from somebody else. You could rent it to other people. And Delaware, if you've never been, man, Delaware beaches are excellent. Lowest property taxes in the entire country, Delaware beaches, compared to high property taxes in Jersey. And if you grew up going to Jersey, Kasabi has plenty of contacts there as well. When you want to take the leap, you got to reach out to Adam Kasabi. You spell it Kasebe. How do you get in touch with him? You can call or text him directly at 302-864-8643 or go to processrealtor.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.